David Coy will come and share with us a song of Mary Chapin Carpenter that I asked for, and he said, I can do that.
One, two, three, four. Two, two, three, four. Come darkness, come light, come new star shining bright, come love to this world tonight, alleluia. Come broken, come whole, come wounded in your soul, come any way that you know. Stable and a light within. There's an angel hovering, three wise men. Tonight a baby's born in Bethlehem. Alleluia. Come doubting, come sure, come fearful to this door. Come see what love is for. Alleluia. Come running, come walking slow, come weary on your broken road. Come see him shed your heavy load. Alleluia. There's a humble stable and a light within. There's an angel hovering, three wise men. Tonight a babe is born in Bethlehem. Alleluia. Come darkness, come light, come new star shining bright, come love to this world tonight, alleluia. Come darkness, come light, come new star shining bright, come love to this world tonight, alleluia. There's a humble stable, alleluia, and a light within, alleluia. Tonight a baby's born, alleluia.
Thank you, David. I think part of why I wanted that song is because it always strikes me on Christmas Eve when I try to figure out a word to say that you all are here. We come with in so many different reasons, in so many different ways, in so many different states of mind. Some of us are here because our family wants us to be. And probably no other reason. Some of us are here because it's sort of the obligate thing you do. Some of us are here because there's a hunger that we're not quite sure how to meet. Some of us are here because we're always here at First Baptist. It's what we do all the time. There's a lot of reasons we show up on Christmas Eve. And I think that song is trying to say, every single one of those reasons, whatever brings you here, God sees you. You may not even know if you believe in God. God sees you. Whatever it is that God is, God sees you and God knows you. And God knows what brings you here and what is in your heart and mind, in our hearts and minds, as we sit here on this Christmas Eve. Take a minute and breathe. My husband, in his love for our son, drove 4 hours back and forth to Rochester yesterday because I had forgotten to make haystacks before we saw him on Saturday. Haystacks are, you know, one of those family treats that you're always supposed to have on Christmas. But what Bill came home saying was that Luke made the comment. He said, you know, our family didn't do all this family stuff the way his girlfriend's family does. He said, we were just did the Jesus thing. He said, I guess that is the point, but we just did the Jesus stuff. And I do remember, and it was sort of pitiful, y'all. It would be Christmas Eve, and I had to be at church early in Lake Avenue Baptist in Rochester, and we would have to figure out something to feed the kids. And there was this one Wendy's on Lake Ave that used to be open on Christmas Eve, and we would run in there and buy fries and some hamburgers and drag them on to take them to church. Yeah. Of course, there was also the Christmas Day that we didn't think about the fact that people are not open on Christmas Day when our kids were much younger. We were driving from Atlanta to North Carolina. Do you want to know the name of the one restaurant in America that is always open on Christmas Day? What?
Waffle House.
Waffle House. You are right. There was one Waffle House in South Carolina. I mean, I know Chinese food, right? That's in the Christmas Story movie, and people go to New York City and go to Chinatown on Christmas Day, but this is South Carolina. There was no Chinatown to go to, but there was, thank God, a Waffle House. And after we ate our food and fed our young children, we left all the cash we had in our wallets for a tip to the elderly, I mean, really older woman. She was pretty old, who had told us she had to work. It wasn't her choice. And when she saw the tip, she ran out after us to the car with a plate of homemade Christmas cookies that they had in the back. The other Christmas story in Bill's family is the night, the Christmas Eve, they broke down driving from Daytona Beach to Orlando on their way from one grandmother to the other grandmother. And as they coasted into the one gas station that had a light on, 8-year-old Charlie said, I bet this was how Mary and Joseph felt. Why am I telling these stories? Because, you know, we have these notions, these lofty notions about Christmas Eve, and yet Christmas, any family holiday, you know, even those of us who are trying to do the Jesus thing forget that we got to feed the kids. So, what does it mean to celebrate Christmas? What does it mean to gather here and sing these songs and hear these stories? There's so much tradition that we delight in. Look around. Just look at, you know, that we light these little gas candles on Christmas Eve only, with a little trepidation, I think. Again, at my last church, which had had a fire in 1970, not on Christmas, but they'd had a fire, on Christmas Eve, the ushers stood in the aisle when you lit the candles at the end with big buckets of water and wet towels in them, ready to, you know, sop out any hint of a fire. In the middle of all this, right? What are your traditions at home? What does your family do that makes sense? And what is absolutely crazy because great-grandmother did it? You know, there's all those things as well. In the middle of all this, in the incredibly humanness of all this, we dare to believe God got born as a little bitty baby. Some of you have delighted in my telling you this Advent that I don't care if you don't believe in the virgin birth. I heard that again today through somebody else. And that I don't really care whether you believe actual angels showed up. But I do hope and long for you to believe that somehow in Jesus we see the love of God. And that the love of God does not come to us in power, does not force us to believe, does not coerce us into being what God wants us to be. The love of God shows up as a little bitty baby, as a human being, vulnerable, finite, limited, just like us. We all got born, and Jesus got born too, just like us. Yet somehow in his life, in his living, in his dying, we see God's love poured out. God who chooses to limit God's self, because if God revealed God's self in all God's power, where would be room for us? So, in our humanness, God loves us. In our families, when they're broken and messed up, as well as when they're wonderful, God delights in us, in our families, in our relationships, when they work and when they do not work at all. God is right there helping us to try again, to forgive, to move on, to keep being about the work of love. We all know there is a lot of darkness and pain and suffering and grief in our world, in us. But there is also the love of God, the peace of Christ, the joy of the Spirit, the joy that comes in the morning, even when we have wept all night long. Because God never gives up on us, and God has not given up on our world. God is wherever humans are most in pain, most in suffering. So tonight we know God is in Bethlehem again. God is in the West Bank. God is in Gaza. God is in Ukraine. God is in every home in Israel where they are afraid or angry or revengeful or longing for peace. God is in the Sudan. God is everywhere where there's the most pain, the most hurt, the most brokenness. God help us. God is in Washington, D.C., in the halls of Congress, and God is in Mar-a-Lago and Rehoboth Beach and here. Nothing can separate us from the love of God revealed to us in Christ Jesus. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, things present, things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is always working in us and in our world. Alleluia.